me invite you to just take a few moments now and take a few nice deep breaths. Maybe allow your eyes to close. And just allow yourself to be here. There's so much going on in life and in the world, all the busyness. Maybe you need to just move a little bit. If you need to let out a few sighs, whatever, just to relax and arrive. And just allow your attention to just be on your breath, breathing in and breathing out. And just allowing the words of the song we've just heard, this idea of the Christ inside. Maybe just allow those words to settle inside. And then an invitation this morning to allow that light of Christ to be in the context of this season. Not just the season of the holidays and Christmas, but also winter. Being mindful that our days are still growing shorter and the darkness is longer. Maybe just being aware of how is it with you and darkness? Can you wonder and marvel at how this universe works? We have an affinity, a natural affinity for the light. And one of the realities is the brighter the light, the darker the shadow. Can you welcome the shadow? Welcome the darkness, the mystery, the unknown, with curiosity and loving presence. St. John of the Cross talks about the dark night of the soul, and in that dark night, he writes about the luminous darkness. The light of the darkness. How is it to be with that in your life today, in this moment? The mystic James Finley says that the mystic doesn't say, look what I've done, but rather, look what love has done to me. There's nothing left but God's intimate love giving itself to me as me. Maybe today, this moment, can you open to the infinite love as it gives itself to you as you. And then allowing your attention and your awareness back from within to the room around, the sights, the sounds, the smells. And just with gentleness, as you're ready, gently opening your eyes. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Judith and Julie. And I don't know, next year maybe we should publicize this and make this an open come in your jammies, Christmas jammies service. What do you, anybody think about that? Did I mention last week that we were doing this or not?
No.
I guess I didn't. I was too busy crashing into candles.
Are boxers okay?
I think so. Yeah, I could get myself some boxers. not white ones, no. Oh my goodness. It's just so good to be here today. Thank you for being here. Thank you for tuning in online. I want to just, Reverend David, where are you? You're out there somewhere. There you are. Slipped a little something under my door this week about giving and collecting smiles this season. And I just thought that was such a sweet, refreshing thing. You know, when we were thinking about gifts and events and all these things we can do, you know, the simple act of just giving and receiving smiles. And as I was just reflecting on this, this week was a big week in this church. We made it to the newspaper, if you didn't know that. Wasn't that something? Yeah, and I just want to thank Roy for. I know you don't want attention, but just Roy and Susie interviewed me a few months ago for this, and wrote up a draft article, and then Brian just masterfully edited it, and I just really appreciate his ability to say in like 1/4 the words of what it takes me to say something. But it was just so wonderful to have that, and I just really appreciate all the work that went into that. Also this week, there was a member of this community who went to Costco and bought a bunch of coats to donate to a local school. And I got a message from the administrator at the school just thanking us for the donation of those jackets. It was so just special and wonderful. This is silly, but I just got to tell you this. Yesterday, I was out running errands looking for Christmas lights. Do you know that they no longer make incandescent lights? Everything is LED. I didn't know that. And so, but in the course of running around, I walked into Fred Meyer and Margaret. I was wearing my Husky beanie, and I was walking. The guy ringing the Salvation Army bell just looked at me and said, "Go Dogs." And I was stunned. I was surprised. We're going to talk today about surprise. I just wasn't expecting that. I just, oh my gosh. I had my head in all the things I was doing. And so I stopped and went up to the guy. I said, "Thank you. Are you from Seattle?" I said, no, I just saw your hat, you know. And I just thought, huh, that was so nice. And then the way my mind works as I was wandering the aisles of Fred Meyer was like, okay, does this mean I've got to say, "Go Cougars"? Or I don't even know if I can say this. Go Ducks. Vandals, yeah, I can. I like the Vandals, absolutely. You know, I'm just working out opposites in my heart, you know, and I just, as a, in the world of sports, I've just, you know, my affinity to my alma mater, you know, has a kind of an alter ego where it's just like, okay, this is my Christmas growth edge, is all of that. But yeah, just such a wonderful, wonderful time of the year. And I want to this morning talk a little bit about the peace of Advent and how we can find peace and where it shows up. And just, you know, thinking about that and thinking about the Christmas story. Let's see if I can make this work here. Is this working? Uh-oh, hang on. Oh, there we go. Okay, perfect. Yeah. To think of the Christmas story as a love story. You know, we all appreciate a good love story. Anybody in here watch the Hallmark Channel? You like the Hallmark Channel? Some of you do? Sure. Yeah. Okay. Who doesn't love a good love story? But as we think about the Christmas story, I just want to offer a few things from last week's message that I hope can put all of this into context here. And I'm doing something. Is it? I think it's turned on. Thanks, Brian. Yeah. but some things that I just want to just remind us of last week. What didn't I? Oh, okay. How do I do that? Oh, I turned the wrong switch. Thank you, Brian. These are just some things from last week's message that I hope can be an anchor of peace and solidity in this holiday season for you. First of all, there's nothing that you can do or that can be done to take the Christ out of Christmas. Whether an event's name is changed from Christmas to holiday, whether we sing holy songs or secular songs or songs unrelated to the thing, none of that changes that. And so I hope that there's, you know, some peace and relaxation. Also, there's nothing that we can do to put the Christ into Christmas. And I say this to myself because this time of the year, I think I've told you, you know, however nostalgic some of you are, I'm more nostalgic. I get very nostalgic, very sentimental. And sometimes with that sentimentality, thinks, oh, I've got to work so hard to keep the Christ in Christmas. And then I realize, no, wait a minute. There's nothing I can do about that. It just is. And so instead of getting all caught up in whether, you know, Jesus is in Christmas or not, you know, how the room is decorated or not, none of that changes that. And so these are just things I say to myself that I hope are helpful to you. And then we sang about this morning, as Christmas as a love story unfolds in your life, just notice how your mind is going to want to experience that as good or bad. And again, without pathologizing or criticizing yourself, maybe reframe the new events that come up in your life from this is good or bad to, oh, this is new. This is new. And again, I'm saying this to myself because 2025 for me has been a year of a lot of new. And I know for many of you, it's the same thing. So as we come to the story of Christmas today and this outworking of love, we're going to talk a little bit about the announcement of a couple of unplanned pregnancies in the Christmas story. And it's real easy for us who grew up with a Christian tradition to read that through a lens of thousands of years of church history with kind of a romantic, sentimental, wow, you know, this is just so beautiful. But my invitation today is to really use your imagination as best you can and put yourself in the story. And as you do that, maybe notice if there's a character in the story, or maybe characters not mentioned in the story that you can identify with in this present moment. Because it's in doing that that we can see how something that for the characters in the Christmas story was utterly absurd. And today it's all about surprise, unplanned pregnancies. You know, the absurdity of that, the ridiculousness of that, and how the working out of faith, the working out of trust, the working out of surrender, the working out of opening to life with an unprotected, undefended heart can transform what seems like something absurd into something sublime. You might even want to just think about, you know, your life today. Are there areas of your life that are just absurd? Seem absurd, make no sense at all. You know, can you receive those and welcome those and maybe be open to God, Spirit, Source, Life, Energy, whatever you want to call it? Can you help me see this situation as something absurd to something amazing, to something incredible? That's the invitation today as we reflect on the story of Advent. And a second thing is that as we think of stories, to think of stories as myths. Now, when I say myth, that doesn't mean that something isn't true. Oftentimes, I think we associate myth with fable or something make-believe. But when we think about this story through a mythical lens, we're not so much concerning ourselves with the truth, and I love prepositions. Prepositions are important. The truth of the story, but to the truth in the story. You see, there's a difference, there's a nuance to that. In the tradition that I grew up with, it was all about the truth of the story. It had to happen this way, it had to happen this way, it had to happen this way. I too beat the pulpit and said, yes, this is, you know, it had to be this way, like I was trying to convince myself that the actual, you know, facts were true. But the truth in the story, in the mystery, are timeless. it's kind of the difference about, again, in faith and spirituality, it's not about learning what to think, but rather learning how to think. And that's important because many of us here also come from a tradition known as the science of mind. And the value, the great value of science of mind to spirituality is to pay attention to our minds. How do we think? But we have to be careful as we do that, that we don't slip into this, here's what to think, you know, 15 or 16 propositional truths, but rather to learn how to think. It makes me think of the quote by a couple of them, Marcel Proust, the French existentialist, who said, the real voyage of discovery is not in seeing new landscapes, but in having new eyes. I love that. You can live in the same place all your life and continue to see it with fresh eyes every single day. Saint Antoine d'Exupéry said this, if you want to build a ship, don't gather wood, draw up plans, and bark out orders to people. Rather, teach the people to long for the vast and open sea. I love that. This season is all about longing, the experience of longing for love. How is love forming in my life? And there is no shortage. If you go to my office, there's the church library in there. No shortage of self-help books on how to do that. And just so you know, my library, personal library, would rival that one. I'm a book hound, and I've got tons of books. But there are those times in our life where we just have to set the books aside and just be present to life as it is. That's the invitation today and finding peace in Advent. So what I want to do is just begin with, I already told you that, what character do you find yourself, okay? Three angelic visitations, all right, in the Christmas story. The first two images here are the images of an angel to a priest named Zechariah, okay? Zechariah was a priest who lived in the days of Jesus, and an angel came and told him that his wife was going to give birth to a child. And rather than paraphrase it, I just want to read a couple sentences here from the Bible. It's found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. And it says here, now while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. Wow. A few verses later it says, and Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. And the angel answered him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. Watch this, and behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Now, yeah, we read that, right? You know, and wow, God's really ruthless, you know? I mean, Spirit's really ruthless. But again, this is where I want to invite you to just maybe suspend some of your years of conditioned religious thinking. And if your years of religious thinking are such that this God is punitive and angry and mad and that humans are dumb and stupid and rotten, then you look at this lens, you know, and it's kind of like, yeah, tough luck for Zechariah. And I've heard teaching of that. Oh, yeah, you know. But as I've reflected on this story, I think, wait a minute. And Zechariah is the person I relate to today. He's a priest. He knows this stuff. He's doing stuff like this. And God shows up and says something's going to happen, and he just asks, how can this be? And he's rendered silent. What if that silence was not a punishment, but a gift? I say that because there are many times in my life where something comes in and I'm just a deer in the headlights. I don't know. I marvel people who are quick on their feet, quick-witted, you know, who have do you know people like that, you know, who just have a witty response? That's not James Kress. I'm just like, and I'm silent, you know, and oftentimes in you know, the days and or hours afterwards, like, okay, maybe that's what this was about. Can you welcome silence and quiet, not as a punishment, not as, oh, you're just dull or you can't do it, but maybe as a sacred gift? Yeah, the people were stunned. The story goes on to say the people were stunned, you know, and just were like, oh, our priest can't speak. How would it be for you if your minister shows up every Sunday and, I can't speak, you know, I can't say anything? It would be, what happened to him or her? Yeah, but there's a mystery in there that I think is interesting. The middle picture is an image of Mary visiting Elizabeth, John's wife. I'm going to skip over that one. But then the next one that's very popular or more well-known is the angel visiting Mary. And I just want to read from the story and just offer a few reflections on this as we do. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, the sixth month is 6 months after Elizabeth was pregnant with the person who was going to be known as John the Baptist, okay? So 6 months into her pregnancy, another angel shows up and to the city of Galilee of Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father, David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, since I am a virgin?" Sound familiar? Yeah, now let me just stop for a moment. This word virgin is an interesting one. As I've related to this story, I've had women share with me this idea of the Virgin Mary as a sexless woman being offensive to a female sexuality. And I've got to agree with that. Yeah. And the way my mind thinks, what about male sexuality? I mean, sex is a good thing, isn't it? I sure enjoy it. And so this idea, so what's it? what was that? Okay, forced family fun. Bring it on, Sina. Yeah, okay. And so there's a lot of talk in spiritual circles. Well, does this mean that she's someone who is chaste or someone who is not married? And there's back and forth, you know, and it's an interesting thing to ponder, especially as you ponder this in your life. What's important to you about this, you know? I think what's important to me about the story is that the pregnancy was unplanned. You know, I'll share this. Yeah. Chastity, you know, has been upheld in many spiritual circles as a virtue. If you really want to be spiritual, if you really want to find God, if you really want to be close, don't be sexual. And I just think that's hogwash. I think it's in sex that we find spirituality. Esther Perel says it so beautifully. Sex is not something you do, it's a place you go. And I just so appreciate that. And of course, you know, it's from this that, you know, I mean, again, Mary is upheld as a virgin, and then, of course, in the Catholic Church, priests are upheld as celibate. And we all know what happens, you know, it's what's happened with that. And I think that's a tragedy. I think rather of celibacy as a calling. Some people hopefully choose it willingly and joyfully. And for those that do choose it, let's not judge those people, but also be mindful of yourself, you know. And sometimes going through seasons of chastity can be helpful, because Sex can also be a compulsion to cover up pain and difficulty and struggle in life. So I don't want to get too far down this rabbit trail. But this idea, again, and the mystery of the story is, you know, this unplanned pregnancy. I think that's what's the mystery of this story. And to carry it forward to today, you know, how do we respond to unplanned pregnancies? White men have a lot to say about it, which I think is unfortunate. Not that that voice isn't there, but how about the voice of the woman? The voice of the child. It's a mystery. It's miraculous. And I think in this unfolding here, Mary asking, how can this be? The angel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child will be born and be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, will also conceive a son, and nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Now again, in the Christian tradition, it's taught that, well, the reason that Mary was blessed was because she said yes, and Zechariah was cursed with silence, because he said no. Again, I think that comes from kind of a punitive, retributive, reward, punishment type of God. And I don't see God that way. I see it rather just as the unfolding of life. But when we think about Mary's yes, also think of no. When we say yes to something, we're saying no to something else. What do you think? I'm just curious, as you think about this right now, you know, as Mary said yes to this surprise in her life, what were some of the things that she might have been saying no to? Anything come to mind? Just call it out. Fear? Uh-huh.
Planning her own pregnancy?
Yep.
Judgment.
What is it? Judgment? What?
Reputation?
Yes.
Sickness?
Yes.
Her desire to have a career as a wheat farmer?
Sure. Her desire to have a career as a wheat farmer. Yes. Yeah. This was a very patriarchal society, and women were property, you know, and marriage in those days was more about, you know, who gets the cows when I die than it was about love. And so, you know, again, we can talk all about that. But yes, there were societal, this lowly woman, you know, unbetrothed, getting pregnant. Oh my gosh. And in saying yes, there were also some things that Mary said no to. And just as a side note, the reverse is also true, because this isn't about saying yes to everything, okay? Learning how to say no, learning how to set boundaries is also an important part, I think, of spiritual maturity. But with every no that we say, we're also saying a yes to something else. And so it's helpful as you navigate the yeses and nos in your life to be mindful of, what am I saying no to, and what am I saying yes to? And when I say yes, to what am I also saying no? In all of this, we can find, I think, peace. But the road and the pathway is messy. I'm sorry, folks, but there's no script or playbook for this. I wish there was. You know, I wish there were, but they're not. Yeah, it's this. If only divine guidance were so easy, too, okay? Again, in the mystery of this story, we have angels showing up speaking in English. Let's just be reminded, God doesn't always speak in English. You know, the Bibles that we read, you know, were mostly written in Greek. Jesus never spoke Greek. Jesus didn't even know Greek. It was the translators of his Aramaic that put it into Greek. So there's, again, that when we talk about the Bible some more, we'll get into that. But I'm just curious, what are some ways, I mean, so again, it's easy to look back at this story and say, oh, wouldn't it be so nice if an angel showed up, you know, and just said, I am God, and this is what you will do. You know, for some people, God does speak that way. It doesn't work that way with me. I'm not a visual person. You know, I'm more of an impression, and I'll tell you about that in just a minute. But I'm just curious, how do you receive guidance in your life? You know, sacred guidance. How does it come? What, any of you want to say? What is it?
Experience.
Uh-huh. What else?
Intuition.
Your gut. Yeah. What else?
Synchronicity.
Synchronicity? Yeah, yeah.
Meditation.
Uh-huh. What else?
Silence.
Silence. In the silence, the still small voice.
Goosebumps for confirmation.
Goosebumps for confirmation. Yes. Do any of you ever get that? That's kind of a new thing for me. In fact, even now I'm just getting goosebumps just thinking about that. You know, and again, I'm not a, I'm a Wisconsin kid. You know, I just this stuff is kind of new for me. Well, somebody had their.
Light.
What is it?
Light.
Light. Look for the light. Uh huh. Yeah. How else? Any others? Vision. Yeah. Dreams. Yes. 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 Someone else telling you the same thing. Yep, some of that synchronicity. You bet. You bet.
Failure.
Oh, yes. Yes. Wow, we could talk a lot about that as well.
Coincidence.
Coincidence. Yeah. So again, the invitation to the mystery and the peace of Advent is not mental assent to facts as they unfolded. You know, maybe an angel showed up to Mary like they did, you know. Maybe not. This is just a telling of the story. But part of this, you know, how can these things be? Do not fear, I think, speak to the mystery of divine guidance, the mystery of faith, the mystery of love and how it unfolds in our life. And my encouragement is to continue to just get to know and be comfortable of how you receive guidance and be more in love with it. Celebrate it. Rejoice. yesterday morning, as I was preparing this message, I had a wonderful, wonderful week this week. So many good things. And some stuff happened in my life that were just a source of incredible sadness and difficulty. And Saturday morning, as I was, this is a view from our front porch, Lisa's house, where I sit. And this tree is in the front yard, and it's quickly becoming a sacred tree for me. A training that I'm involved in right now, I think I've told you about this, it's an online training called the Seminary of the Wild Earth. It's put on by a person named Victoria Lures, who's written a book called The Church of the Wild. And it's all about connecting to and experiencing God in nature. Which again, for this kid is a new experience. And earlier this week, we had a session where we were invited to ask, you know, how is the sky welcoming you to the land? How are the trees welcoming you to this land? How is the soil welcoming you to this land? How are the animals welcoming you to this land? And as I was sitting in my office, I was sitting in the minister's office there as I was doing that. I was looking outside at the snow and just thinking, huh, wow. And I was present to a couple of things. First of all, I was present to the sense of longing and belonging. I was present to how this community and this tribe and Lisa has warmly, lovingly, generously, with wide open arms, invited and welcomed me to this new place. I was like, yeah. But then I was also present to not being invited. I mean, the land didn't invite me here. The sky and the trees, the soil, the animals, the ancestors. And there's a lot of people outside this community, maybe a few more who know from reading the newspaper, who didn't ask for me to just show up. You know, I just, hey, I'm James Kress, I'm here, I'm from Seattle. And, you know, there's a large number of people who haven't. And so being with that, you know, as well as the transition of, you know, 53 years of life in Seattle and moving here, you know, the missing of family and friends there has been a new experience for me that I'll talk about this in a minute. I've been afraid to feel because it's, no, I can't miss that because I love this so much here. And I just started crying. And I was looking at this tree. It's like, and what that tree offered me was just loving presence. Didn't say anything. Didn't try to fix. Didn't try to help me understand. It was just there. And I can't tell you, it was a mystical experience, but just the sense of comfort that I felt in being witnessed by this tree You know, and I was just thinking, I don't know how old the tree is. The house is 101 years old, just turned 101. So I don't know if the tree is 101 or when that, you know, when that tree was 25 years old, yeah. And so I was thinking, you know, what has that tree witnessed in 25 years of life? Of life, not just at the house, but in the neighborhood, you know? And it's just there. The tree isn't canceling me. The tree isn't deporting me. Sorry, I had to slip that in. you know, it's just allowing me to be here. The sky is allowing me to be here. The land, the ground is allowing, the animals, yeah. I just thought, huh, you know, but the fullness of that experience, there's peace. There's peace in the wholeness of it all. All right, so John, whoops, can I go backwards? There it is. I think many of you have heard this verse of Jesus where he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let them be afraid." For many years, this verse has troubled me because I don't always feel peace. And I often feel fear a lot. And so is this some kind of judgment, you know, about that? Is everything okay? Did I do something, Brian? I might have, okay, all right. And so what I want to do is just take a few moments and just unpack when Jesus says, "Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, nor let them be afraid." Is this saying, do not feel fear? I don't think so. I don't think that's honest. I don't think that's real, you know? And so let me just offer you how we fly from truth, or some of the shadows and the masks we wear and the worldly ways that we dance with fear. Now, this is just a list I came up with. It's certainly not exhaustive, but these are things that have been true in my life. First one is cut and run. That's been a big part of my life. When I leave something old and go something new, just cut and run. Leave the past in the past. Don't go there. Don't talk about it. Forget about it. I'm learning now that what I do is I project that onto other people. Why don't you cut and run? Why do you keep going back there? That's over. That's done. Well, life, as it's happening today, you know, I've got two kids and a grandkid, the two grandkids and family and friends in Seattle. You know, a younger version of James Kress would just cut and run. But I'm finding as I open myself up to the sadness of leaving and the missing of my friends and the grieving of that, it helps me open up to the love and the goodness and the joy that's here. It's powerful. Okay? Self-justification. This speaks to regret. I don't know about you, but I've done many things in my life that I regret, that I feel responsible for. And self-justification comes from a place of trying to assuage that regret, trying to assuage that guilt, trying to assuage that harm that I called. And this is speaking to the period of 8 years ago in my life when I left the evangelical church. I left a marriage. I left a family. I left a community. One of the things that happened this week, it was my youngest daughter's 25th birthday. And we're still in the process of coming around to a new relationship. But I was present to the sadness of not being able to be with her. I was present to the sadness of her mom and stepdad throwing her the party of a lifetime, you know, that I wanted to. I was present to a longing and a desire to want to explain and make everything right and make everything good. But I can't. I made that choice. And I'm responsible, you know, for the outcome of that. And I'm not trying to make this sound like I'm a martyr or a victim or anything like that, but the experience of that anger and that angst, you know, is just, I've got to be with that. When I'm not, well, some other things will happen here, you know, then we spiritual bypass, okay? And this is really potent in all kinds of spiritual communities. We're not willing to sit with pain. We want to bypass it through any kinds of rituals, music, belief systems, you know, whatever. We bypass and we end run. Another one Toxic masculinity and positivity. Okay, this really is what I told you last week about men's work. But there's something here, you know, about masculinity that and I read a lot of men's blogs and things, you know, that talk about, you know, men being stoic, having a mission, having a calling, having a purpose. A blog I follow is a gentleman named Dr. Robert Glover, who wrote a book, No More Mr. Nice Guy. Yeah, and another one of his books is, Nice Guys Don't Finish Last, They Rot in Middle Management. I'm a middle manager, you know. Am I not a guy? And it's just funny to watch sort of the outcomes of that. And when I say toxic, I mean, yes, there's certainly harmful, you know, ways of being masculine. But I binged watched a series on Netflix this week, partially binge watched a show called Dudes. Have you ever heard of it? It's fun. It's done in German. It's done in German, and the German name is something I can't forget, but it's a play on this idea, but it's a story of four guys who formed this brotherhood through just the experience of being masculine in the modern world. And I say pseudo binge watched because I watched like the first three episodes and then I watched the last one. It's only 8 episodes long. but it really was, I thought, just a useful expose of, you know, the male and female experience in the modern world today. If that interests you, I encourage you to do that, to take a look at it. But toxic masculinity and also positivity, you know, positivity that's, you know, everything is smiles and happiness and love and light and dancing bears and clowns on unicycles and, you know, wow, 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 wow. I'm all about that, you know. But my invitation here is that the path to peace, the path to love, the path to the transformation of the absurd to the sublime comes through it. And that's messy. That's dark. And can be denial. Denial is another thing that we do as well. I've had people tell me, hey, Reverend James, you know, a little bit of denial is okay. And I'm not going to argue with that. I always just say, denial is not just a river in Egypt. Okay? So, there you go. All right. And then, of course, addiction and compulsion is another thing that we do as well. And again, it's not to make much about what those things are, but you know what I mean. I've got to keep going here. So how is the sacred piece of Advent found? First of all, it's mystery. I think it's mysterious. You can't put it in a bottle and prescribe it. Okay? It's also found by discovery. Surprise. Noble silence. We've already talked about all these things. Welcome the darkness and the storms. One of the meetings I had this week was by a gentleman named Sport Barber, who is a former Nazarene pastor, now turned hospice chaplain. And in his spiritual formation, we've been having a lot of fun going to this place called Stories and Stogies in Post Falls. It's a cigar whiskey lounge, and so it's just, it was fun. He gave me permission to share this story, and spirit willing, he'll be here next year, and we've talked about doing kind of a conversational message about just our spiritual life. But one of the things he told me is that early on in his spiritual life as a pastor, he would take his children out to the wilderness and read novels, and he discovered by surprise a connection to spirit in nature. So much so that he told the Nazarene church he founded, and it was just north of here, just in between here and Sandpoint. He got up one day and told his church, I don't want to be here. I'd rather be in the mountains. Yeah. How would you feel if I said that, you know? But here's the point. I can relate to that. The other thing I had a chance to do this week, Steve and Peggy took me on a drive around the lake to watch the Eagles. Oh my gosh, that was just magical, but there was something sacred and beautiful about it. Who was the person that said, you know, it's better to be in the mountains thinking about God than to be in church thinking about the mountains? Did I say that right? Something like that, okay? Again, this isn't meant to be some legalistic law, but again, it's how, the point is that, and I told him this, I said, there was a discovery of peace and connection there. He didn't wake up that morning and think, I'm going to set out and find God today. No, he found it by just simply being attentive to and present to life and discovered by surprise a presence of nature and a presence of God in nature, being with his kids. I found that fascinating. And the invitation to you is just look over the scope of your life. It might not be nature. It could be walking. It could be shopping. It could be baking. It could be community things. I mean, whatever it is, just know what that is for you. So how have you been surprised by peace? If we had more time, I'd give us some chance to reflect on that. In just closing, I want to bring this all home and have some fun. My favorite Christmas movie, have I told you? National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And I just want to bring all of this home from the clouds and the stratosphere of the philosophical and the spiritual. I love Christmas Vacation because it's the story of a man, Clark Griswold, that I totally identify with. At Christmas, I was the guy on the roof, tacking the lights on, getting the oversized Christmas tree, and just really getting into that and all of the foibles that come from that. But I just want to play for you just a couple minutes of the ending as we wrap up here today. Okay, so is it ready, Brian? All right, here we go.
Eating all the bonuses.
Look!
What's wrong?
Oh,
what?
Clark,
no, it's the Christmas star. And that's all that matters tonight. Not bonuses or gifts or turkeys or trees. See, kids, it means something different to everybody. Now I know what it means to me.
That ain't the friggin' Christmas star, Grizz. It's a light in the sewage treatment plant.
Sewer gas.
Don't drop that!
And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Play more.
Merry Christmas, Barkeep.
Merry Christmas, honey. Come here.
That gets me every time. So I just wish all of you and all of us the love and the peace of this holiday season. Thank you for bearing with me today. All right.